reading from Lloyd-Jones on Romans 8:15. Let me give one illustration of this matter from my own experience some 25 years ago. I was working in my study one morning when I was told that there was a man at the door who was very anxious to see me. On going to the door, I found there a man in a state of great agitation who said, "My father is sitting in that car out there, and he is in a desperate state." He said that his father had just come out of a mental nursing home where he had been for 6 weeks, and he pleaded with me to see him. The poor man was brought into my room. His hair was disheveled, and he had not shaved for days. He was a big, tall, powerful man, indeed almost alarming in appearance. He was desperate, frantic, and almost tearing his hair out. This was his story. He had been converted in a very dramatic manner in a Welsh revival of 1904 and 5. His whole life had been changed. He had been delivered from drunkenness and become a wonderful Christian man. But partly as a result of that change, he began to prosper in business, and gradually the devil, seeing his opportunity, tempted him, and he had been backsliding. The first sign of decline was worldliness. Then he had taken to drink and had ceased to go to his place of worship. In other words, he had gone back in his practice and conduct to the life of the world, and he had been doing this for several years. Suddenly, without any apparent reason or explanation, he had awakened to the seriousness of his backsliding. But at this point, the devil came in and said to him, "Ah, well, your case now is hopeless. You were converted in 1904, but before that time you had been an unbeliever. You were ignorant, you knew nothing. Now you have sinned against the light and against the Holy Ghost. There is no forgiveness for you." He believed this, and soon he had become desperate. They called in his doctor, who gave him sedatives, but without any effect. Then they called in a mental expert, who immediately diagnosed, as such men always do, religious mania. There are many people in mental institutions who should not be there at all. If you show any unusual concern about your soul, you are standing in a great risk of being put into a mental institution as a case of religious mania. The man became a voluntary patient in a nursing home. There they treated him with various drugs for 6 weeks. But far from getting better, he continued to get worse. Finally, he insisted on going home, and now he was sitting in my study. Indeed, he was not sitting. He was pacing up and down, tearing his hair, desperate, violent. I tried to pacify him a little, first of all, and got him to sit down. Then, after hearing his story, I began quoting and expounding scriptures to him. I asked him to give me a scripture which proved that a Christian man who fell into sin could never be forgiven again. I explained to him that that was not to sin against the Holy Ghost. A man who has committed the sin against the Holy Ghost is not concerned about forgiveness. He ridicules the grace of God and the gospel. So this man's very concern about forgiveness and his grief because he had let down his Savior was a proof that it did not apply to him. I kept on, and this continued for some 40 minutes. I did nothing but quote the scriptures. Eventually the man became quiet and peaceful. But I was not satisfied until I had got him to thank God and to praise God and had seen him smile. Then I told him to be prepared for further onslaughts. I warned him that the devil would certainly not give up at all easily. He would come back. But all he, the sufferer, had to do was to quote the scriptures I had, and he returned in about a week, if I remember rightly. Once more he was desperate and violent, but it only took some 20 minutes this time to pacify him and to make him praise God. Again, I did nothing but quote scripture. This process had to be repeated some 2 or 3 times, and eventually he was entirely delivered and resumed an active Christian life. End quote. David Martin Lloyd-Jones, Sons of God, an exposition of Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 17.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan hard drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.